Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from Pastor John Twitchell at the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
I know it doesn't seem like spring is coming, but I promise you, spring is on its way. Time continues to march forward regardless of our desires, regardless of our busy schedules, and regardless of the weather we see outside our windows. Last week, honestly, it seemed like spring was already here during our silent time during our prayer. If you listened carefully, you could hear the birds chirping outside the window last Sunday morning. But then the harsh reminder of winter came in the form of snow, sleet, and rain on Friday. The very name of the Lenten season reminds us of spring. You may not know that, but the word Lent is derived from the Old English word for spring, lengthen, a word that reminds us that the days are lengthening or getting longer. Lent reminds us that spring is on the way. Even as we are reminded of our mortality, we see the days getting longer around us and life beginning to spring forth. The same time we remember Jesus' journey toward the cross, we are reminded that light always conquers darkness, good always triumphs over evil, and life is infinitely stronger than death. Our New Testament lesson from Romans reminds us that God is in the business of bringing life to that which was dead. God is in the business of calling into existence those things that are not. Just as the change from winter to spring brings green to the grass and causes flowers to begin to burst through the frozen soil, God brings light to our darkness and joy to our sadness. And even though Lent is a journey toward the cross, we know this. We know that it is also a journey through the cross to where we find an empty grave and signs of life. For even in the most sorrowful moments of our grief, we are reminded that God Himself identified with our condition and that God Himself provided the remedy for our condition. Yes, I tell you with assurance, spring is on the way. The signs are already appearing. The days are longer. The snow doesn't last as long as it did in January, and I've already seen the birds. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Bruce and I were standing in the foyer out by the big glass doors looking out and watching the birds on the apple tree. It was only February 18th, but Bruce, we saw the first robin of spring, didn't we? We did, right out there on the front lawn of the church. If I remember right, it was also that same morning that we watched the cedar waxwings on their twice yearly trek through Cape Elizabeth. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to watch our cedar waxwings, but they're absolutely amazing. They don't live here in Cape, at least I don't think they do, because I only see them twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. It appears to me that they migrate through the area and they stop at the places where they love to find their food, crabapple trees. They know about the one on the front lawn of the church, and they know about the one on the back lawn of the parsonage. And twice a year, in the fall and in the spring, there'll be flocks of 20 or 30 cedar waxwings that will come and stay around for a few days here and over at the parsonage. They'll eat the crab apples from the tree before they fly away and continue their journey. They seem to travel in flocks, and they can be startled easily, but they usually return fairly quickly to the tree that they were feasting on. A couple of weeks ago, Melody and I came to the church on a Saturday afternoon. It was in the middle of cedar waxwing season, and we found a cedar waxwing lying on the front steps of the church. It had apparently flown into the glass doors, which our custodians keep very nice and clean, and had broken its neck. I'm not blaming you, Bruce, by the way. I'm glad that the doors are clean. After carefully disposing of the bird, we watched the rest of the flock return to the tree and wondered if the other birds had noticed that that particular cedar waxwing was missing. I don't know how well cedar waxwings keep track of each other. I don't know if there's a chief waxwing who watches over the rest of the flock, if he pulls out his clipboard and takes attendance before they fly off to their next destination. I don't know if birds establish friendships, if they would have noticed that this particular bird was missing. To me, one cedar waxwing looks pretty much like another. I couldn't have told them apart. But I thought about that, and then I thought about this. Whether the other birds knew this or not, God knew that that cedar waxwing had fallen from flight. Luke records these words of Jesus found in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so as I considered the fallen waxwing on our front steps, it was no longer important to me at all whether or not the rest of the flock noticed it was missing. Because I knew that God Almighty noticed that that bird was missing. And if he cares about a cedar waxwing, how much more will he care about you, about me, and about our loved ones? The past several weeks, I've been impressed with a particular phrase. You've heard me pray it over and over again, enough probably so that you could quote it. I've been impressed with the notion that God loves our loved ones more than we ever could. It's provided great comfort to me as over the past several months, I've watched the bad news arrive on many of our doorsteps. Even as we visited Melody's parents the day their house was set on fire, I knew this, that God loved them more than we could, and he cares about the loss of their house more than we do. Whether it was sickness, broken bones, a heart attack, a lost job, cancer, extended hospitalization, or the loss of a loved one, over the past several months, each of us has received comfort from the knowledge that God is on our side and he loves our loved ones more than we do or ever could. The children sing a little song sometimes. It goes like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We learn at a very young age that God is always watching us. And while I do like that little children's song, if that's all that we ever learn about God's watchful eye on us, we might think that he's more like Big Brother or a cosmic cop watching us, watching and waiting for us to goof up so he can catch us. There's truth to the fact that we should be careful what we see, what we do, and what we say. But at the same time, I really don't believe that God is sitting up there in the sky watching us with a radar gun, waiting to pull us over when we do wrong. That's not the image of God's watchfulness that Jesus painted when he spoke of the sparrows. And it's not the image that the psalmist painted in our psalm for today, Psalm 121. I invite you to hear these words. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In many of your Bibles, if you look right above the psalm and perhaps underneath where it says Psalm 121, you'll find these words, a song of ascents. Have you ever thought about what song of ascents means? You'll find a number of psalms that are labeled a song of ascents. I think there are 15 of them. And as the name implies, these psalms were probably sung while climbing or ascending. The most likely theory is that they were sung while traveling toward Jerusalem, particularly as one conducted a pilgrimage to worship at the temple which was at the highest point in the city. How many of you have ever been on a road trip with children? Or you've been a child in a road trip? That should be pretty much everyone, one way or another. If you have, you know how important traveling songs are. Imagine for a moment walking for days toward Jerusalem with your children. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we almost there? No, you'd want a song for your children to sing too, wouldn't you? Imagine walking toward one of those great festivals and reminding your children of why they're going to Jerusalem by singing one of the great songs of ascent. If you've ever taken teenagers on a mountain hike, you also know how important songs of ascent are, for they take the hiker's mind off from the tiredness that they feel. And in fact, this particular psalm I will always remember as a hiking psalm, for I can clearly remember hiking through the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning on a 40-mile hike, and reciting the words of Psalm 121 over and over again in my head, reminding me that God would not let my foot slip. I don't mean to imply that these psalms were merely traveling songs, like we might sing Old MacDonald or something like that. They also helped focus the traveler's mind on their destination, where they were going. They focused their attention on God. And as they drew closer to the city, the psalms they would sing would remind them why they're traveling and what they were going to do when they got there. Psalm 121 begins with an affirmation of faith. For as the traveler looked to the hills of Jerusalem, he expected to find help there, at the temple where God's glory dwelled. This psalm reminds us of where we go to find help. We look to God. Oh, we could try to buy another product to make life simpler and easier. It probably won't work. We could go buy another self-help book from the bookstore, hoping it'll make our problems all go away. But unless it points us to God, it may not help at all. We could find our temporary relief in entertainment. We could attempt to drown our sorrows in food, drink, or other diversions, but these temporary sources of relief are just that. They're temporary. Psalm 121 reminds us where we are to find our help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the same God that Elijah looked to for help in 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember Elijah, the great prophet of God? He was the last faithful prophet in all of Israel. He wasn't the only prophet in all of Israel. There were 450 other prophets, but they were prophets of the false god, known as Baal. Well, in order to prove that the other gods were false and that his God was the only true and living God, Elijah got in contact with the king, and they set up a great contest on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah set up the contest by saying these words, "Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers by fire. He is God." They did as he said, and the prophets of Baal called upon their God. They danced around the altar, but no fire came. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Elijah's turn came. He had 12 large jars of water brought to the top of the mountain, poured over the sacrifice on the altar, and asked God to send fire. One simple request, one quick answer. God did send the fire, and not only was the sacrifice burnt up, but so was the wood, so was the water, and so were the rocks that he used to build the altar with. All of the people fell to the ground and confessed that Yahweh was God. We don't know who wrote Psalm 121. We don't know for sure when it was written. I imagine it was around during the time of Elijah, and if it was, he would have appreciated these next two verses. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. When Baal didn't respond to the prayers of his prophets, Elijah suggested a number of things, and the last thing he suggested was this: maybe your God is asleep. And the only way Elijah would have dared make such a suggestion was if he knew for sure what the writer of Psalm 121 knew for sure, that the true God never, ever sleeps. We find great comfort in this truth. When your problems keep you awake at night, you simply can't find sleep. Know this: God is not sleeping either. He's right there with you. When we're afraid we might stumble and fall, we know that God watches over us. When we're afraid that nobody is paying attention, or nobody is answering, or nobody is noticing us, or our needs, or what's going on in our life, know this: God notices you. God is paying attention to you, because God loves you, and He watches you. The sort of watching pictured by the psalmist is not the kind mentioned in that children's song I just sung. It's not the watching of a police officer looking to meet a monthly quota. This is more like the watching of a loving parent, a protective mother, or a proud father. This is the watching of a God who wants to see the best we have to offer, who wants to see us glorify Him with our lives. Not a God who's looking for us to make a mistake, but looking for us to do well so He can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is the watching of a God who loves you more than anyone else ever has. The watching of a God who knows every single detail about your life, including, as Jesus says, the number of hairs on top of your head. See, Christianity is not about empty rituals. It's not about simply adhering to a list of rules and regulations. It is about getting to know the God who already knows you. It's about getting to know the God who already knows you. It's about responding to the call of God who calls you by name. It's about being in constant communion with God, communion made possible only through the blood of the Lamb. In a moment, we'll gather at this table to remember that Christ died for us, to identify ourselves with His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. God invites us to His table because tables were symbolic of relationships. He invites us to come and be in relationship with Him as we dine with Him. This is His table, and He invites all who have confessed their faith in Jesus as their Savior, all those who are in relationship with Him, to come and dine. As you come today, remember you can find help for all of life's problems only in God and nowhere else. Take comfort in the knowledge that God never takes naps, He never sleeps. And know this: He loves you, He watches over you, for you are worth more than many sparrows or cedar waxwings. And He desires for you to know Him as well. As the Apostle Paul wrote at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known."
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. Pastor John would love to hear from you with any questions or just to let him know where you're listening from. You can send him an email at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve Him today.